Welcome to St. Luke's Church. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing hymn number 388 as found in your blue hymnal.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the first book of Kings. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. And then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may have grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander. Together with all malice, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of the Lord.
As early as the 16th century, most of the Anglican clergy were opposed to slavery. 16th century clergy said, "When we baptize people, they become our brothers and sisters in Christ. How then can you treat that person as your slave?" Now, this was not a popular position. They were told by people who owned ships and people who owned slaves and people who owned farms that the clergy should limit themselves to conversations about spiritual matters and that they shouldn't be talking about economy that they don't understand, because the position was an economic threat. And indeed, it led to people trying to find reasons not to allow slaves to be baptized, or find reasons not to teach slaves to read, or find reasons not to allow slaves to read the Bible or the Book of Common Prayer. The clergy, however, continued to say, "This is a spiritual matter. This is about us doing what Christ did, which is loving one another, recognizing that people, when they're baptized, are full members of the body of Christ and are brothers and sisters." And so what happened is this tension that they created led to England being the first Western country to abolish the slave trade in 1807. It took over 100 years to do it. But those 16th century clergy got it started. And they got it started in the right direction. One of the things that the reading that we heard from Ephesians today is about how we in the baptismal community treat each other. But it's set in the context of Paul's overall theology, which says the baptismal community, the church, is a witness to the world. So how the church treats each other says something to the world about who Christ is. So, for example, we remember from the book of Acts that the disciples were first called Christians in the city of Antioch, and the statement was, see how these Christians love one another. They were known for how they treated each other. And how they treated each other became a witness to the world. How the church acts witnesses to the world. That's what the Ephesians reading is all about. Take a look at it. Get it out. Get your bulletin out and take a look at it. Starting on page 5. So then, putting away all falsehood, let us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Now, in this sentence, the neighbors are our neighbors in the baptismal community, in the church. And it says, don't lie, speak the truth. Why? Because we belong to each other. And if we belong to each other, speaking falsehoods is like telling yourself a lie.
And we all know how well that works.
Right? Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. When there are cracks in the life of the community because of anger and upset, that makes room for the devil, according to Paul. Now, this is the sentence that I think is really interesting. Pay close attention to this. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Isn't that an interesting construction? This is not give up thieving because stealing is bad. It's make money honestly so you can share it with others. I think many arguments from what is called the right in our country fit with this verse. How do we make it work? How do we pay for it? How do we create an economy that, like the high tide on a river, lifts all the boats? Those are important and valid questions. Just as surely as how do we treat people with the love that Christ loved us is also a valid question. The divisions in our nation are divisions that we, by our behavior, hopefully, can show the nation how to overcome. That's the challenge that lies before us. And it may take 100 years. Remember how long it took what those 16th century Anglican clergy started to come to fruition. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only for what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. That is so apt today, isn't it? So many words in our society, in our culture, don't give grace. They tear down. They don't build up. But if we're supposed to treat each other and thereby show the world how to speak with words that are graceful and build up, that's something that our world today needs desperately. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are marked with a seal for the day of redemption. The Spirit is what brings the community together and makes it the body of Christ. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger, wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. There's the ultimate challenge for us, isn't it? To treat each other the way Christ treated us. To love each other the way Christ loved us. To feed each other the way Christ fed us. All of the readings today are fascinating in that regard, right? I mean, I love the 2 Kings reading. An angel shows up and basically is mom to Elijah. Right? Eat something, you'll feel better. Right? I love that. Right? Get up, eat again. You didn't eat enough. You need more. Eat. Caring for Elijah. God sends angels to care for people. Shouldn't we do the same? Christ brings bread from heaven. Shouldn't we bring bread? How do we treat the world the way Christ treated us? That's the challenge of this reading. And it's based on that core idea that how we as a community act and treat each other is a witness to the outside world about Christ. That's the key principle in Paul's missionary theology. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live and love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. How many of you recognize that sentence? A couple of you? You've heard it in the liturgy before, probably less from me than others. Okay? It's an offertory sentence. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. It's the most commonly used offertory sentence. And it's walk in love in the prayer book instead of live in love. And the reason for that is because the translators of the New Revised Standard caught the meaning of the text, which is that this moving around in love should be a way of life. A way of being. And that's exactly what the text means. So the NRSV didn't translate it wrong. But the Greek word actually is peripateo, which is where we get the word peripatetic. Good vocabulary words. Show off to your teachers next year, kids. Peripatetic means to walk around. Right? And the idea is that we're supposed to walk around through life in love, the way that Christ loved us, that our mode of being in the world, our way of walking around, is to be in love like Christ loved us. The idea being that by the way that we treat each other and treat people in the world, we show people who Christ is. It's a crucial, crucial point. Now, next week, when you come to church, there will be two banners in the front yard. Those banners are put there to remind the world about the fact that we're supposed to treat each other in certain ways. Those banners will have on them two verses from the book of Hebrews. They won't have political jingles. They won't have other kinds of things that might be startling or jarring. They will be a pointed reminder to the community that we're about treating each other and the world the way Christ treated us. So it'll be two verses from Hebrews. Do not neglect to show hospitality to the stranger. And remember those in prison as if you were in prison. Those who are being tortured as if you yourself were being tortured. And we're putting that out there for a couple of reasons. One, there are two ways that the church works in the world. One of them is loving charity. caring for others, what we call service on the tree of our corporate life that's on the cover of your bulletin. We do that really, really, really well. I'm very proud of how we do that, how we care for the world around us, how we care for people and try to help them out. We do that well at this place, and I'm very proud of us. The challenge is there are forces in the world, just like with our 16th century Anglican clergy, there are forces in the world that would say to the church, now stay out of politics, stay out of economics, stay out of structures of the world. But part of the challenge that we're supposed to present the world is a call to structure our life, our corporate life, in more loving ways. Now, the technical name for calling our structures to change is social justice. That word gets misused a lot and gets misunderstood a lot. People think social justice only means rallying on the street for one side or another. But we're not contributing to the division of our world. That's not what we mean by social justice. What we mean is we're going to show the world the way we treat each other, which is the way that Christ treats the whole world. You can have all kinds of debates about all kinds of political things. That's fine. But you should show hospitality to the stranger, remember the prisoners and those who are being tortured, whatever side you're on. That's the peace that brings us together. And I believe we need to do that. I believe we need to remind the world of that. Somebody after the 8 o'clock today, after the 8 o'clock service, said to me, thank you so much. So often we're preaching to ourselves, to the choir. It's good to know we're going to put something out there for the world to see. I thought that was a very interesting comment. Okay. What we put out there doesn't have to be taking sides. What we put out there has to be the love of Christ. And we're going to do that. And we're going to do that because the world needs it. And because that is the path to bringing together the divisions in our world. It may take a long time, but that's the path. Just telling people to treat each other with the love of Christ is the path. It's right out of Ephesians and all of Paul's teaching. The other reality about this is that it's important for church growth. And here's why. I'm very proud of this place. You all know that. I'm very proud of all of you. And when I'm out and about in the community, I tell people, I'm the priest at St. Luke's. You should come and check us out. Whenever I speak to somebody younger than me, one of the questions I get asked when I tell them about St. Luke's is, what does St. Luke's do for social justice? I get asked that a lot. It is the fact that people who are Gen Xers, who are millennials, people who are younger than me, look for a public statement from a church. Because to them, that means the church is doing something. So it's also good church growth, as well as good biblical theology. Now, we're not going to do crazy political stuff. We're going to call the world to act to each other the way Christ acts. We're going to call the world to love. We're going to call the world to compassion. We're going to call the world to treat each other the way we want to treat each other in this church. That's biblical. It's Pauline. It's Jesus. It's also the solution. It may take a long time, but treating each other with the love of Christ is the solution to our society and our world's ills. And it's high time we start reminding the world of that. That's what we're going to do. We're going to act towards others the way Christ acted towards us.
As you are able, please stand and face east, the direction of sunrise and a symbol of the resurrection, as we recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God.
For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and those who are alone.
We pray for Donald, our president, and for the legislative and judicial branches of our government. We pray for Stephen, Courtney, James, Joel, Nathan, Sarah, and Kristen, who serve in our armed forces, and for all people everywhere.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the improvement of our societies, our natural environment, and our hearts.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
We pray for those who are addicted and for those in recovery. We pray for the sick, especially Mike, Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, George, Harlan, Hope, Charlotte, Dan, Dorothy, Carolyn, Christine, Carol, Mary, Caitlin, Helen, Jessica, Rusty, Pete, Linda, Sid, Betsy, Donald, Max, Bishop Curry. We pray for victims of natural disaster, especially those in Greece and California, fires, and in Sweden.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth. For Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, for Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael in deacon's formation, for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God and the church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, praying especially for Kalamazoo and Portage and the surrounding communities, for the vibrancy of our witness to Christ's love, and for the courage and capacity to serve in Christ's name.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life, for those who are celebrating birthdays, Pam, Madeline, Jillian, Luca, Nolan, Marcia, Elena, Daisy, Kirby, Carol, Toby, Phil, Joel, Sue, Ayana, Max, and Joan. For those who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, Courtney and Stan, and Carrie and John. For those who are celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Alice, Julia, and Avery.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom, remembering especially Clifford and Ken.
And Margaret.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you.
Loving Jesus, protect and sustain us with your hand. Open the door of your love, that sealed with your wisdom, we may be free to serve you with joy.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your Spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death, and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with Mary, the God-bearer, and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast.
Gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Craig, Chris, Bill, I send you forth, bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We who are many are one body, because we all share in one bread and one cup. Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Thank you, Carrie. I'm very excited about our music next year. It'll be great. So lots of good stuff.
As you were able, please stand.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Thank you.
let us go forth in the name of Christ.